Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
The Castellos are here. You're back in the UK. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to be here.
Go around and introduce yourself and tell us exactly what you do in the band so that people can identify your voices as we have this conversation.
Yes, I am Lily Balcom and I sing lead and play instruments sometimes.
I'm Powell Balcom. I sing alto harmony, low harmony, and play banjo.
My name's Ellie Balcom and I play guitar and piano and sing harmony as well.
And together they're the Castellos,
which
you guys taught me how to say, because when we met the first time, you had just, like, it was all just happening for you guys, and everybody was saying the Castellos.
Well, people still are saying unfortunately,
say it?
But it's gotten a lot better.
Not here in the UK. Because I've taught everyone. I've given a tutorial on
You're
it.
You're doing the Lord's work over here.
I'm doing the Lord's work on the radio every day with the Castellos. Exactly.
We appreciate it.
Was there ever a point where you're like, oh, I guess we're just the Castellos now?
You started saying it.
Well, I said it wrong in an interview one time because I got nervous.
That doesn't help.
It doesn't. I know. I was like, y'all take that out. But, you know, it hasn't bothered me as much.
I pick my moments whenever I correct people. If it's a sweet fan, it's like, I'm such a big fan of the kiss. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, there are sometimes
I pick my moments. If it's like an official person, I'll be like,
sure. Yeah, but in life, there's a lot of times where you just have to be like, okay.
It's okay.
It's fine. Yeah. If that's all they get wrong. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're good. Exactly.
It's fine. So the last time that we saw you in the UK, which I think was the first time that you were over, that was C2C, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was a huge deal.
We had so much fun. Yeah.
It was so great. And you made so many new fans there as well. And I'll tell you what I loved, other than seeing you live, which I was excited about because I'd been loving you guys for a while. I love that you were all wearing your own merch on stage.
It was completely
I was so into that. I was like, yeah, get them wearing their own merch. And I was standing kind of side stage with, you know, a bunch of industry people. And everybody was like, yeah, really smart, actually, because everybody's going to run and buy that merch now. And I was like, mm-hmm, they know what they're doing. Yeah,
it was purely unintentional. We had good outfits planned. They might not have been good. I don't know.
We lost our luggage, so we had
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was literally the only reason why we looked like that on stage is because we lost our luggage.
And there are no clothes shops in London. They need to sort that out.
We were wearing our merch and Cody Johnson's merch and pajama pants that we got at TK Maxx. Like, we had no clothes.
I think at that point we were like kind of leaning into it because we didn't want to go shopping for new show clothes.
And sure.
You have to curate that kind of stuff. You can't just like go get 3 days worth of show clothes and make it how you would want it. So we were like,
we do a lot of vintage shopping.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We couldn't just go to, you know.
Honestly, though, it ended up being so great because I was like, this is what it feels like to be a man
in country music.
You can just throw on a hat, throw on a t-shirt, throw on your jeans, and you're ready to go. Like, we didn't have to worry about. And so it kind of took a little bit of, like, the pressure off.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And made it super fun and memorable. And it was like, I don't know. I remember having, like, a lot more fun because it was like, it doesn't matter what we're wearing. We're comfortable. We're just going to get up there and sound as best we can and do the thing.
Well, it totally worked. And actually, the merchandise was so cool that I think it did make a lot of people really want it.
I hope so.
Yeah, people, we sold merch.
There was a bump. There was a bump at the merchandise stand.
We sold merch.
So did it actually, not that you're now just wearing your merch all the time on stage, but this whole conversation about, you know, feeling a bit more comfortable and like just kind of not having to put so much pressure on you for what you look like, and really it's more about what you sound like, which is how it should be. Mm-hmm. Did it actually change that going forward a little bit? Did it kind of loosen it up a little bit for you?
I would say.
I think so. I also think, like, depending on the show, if it's like a really long set, then I'm going to be more mindful about being like, oh, I need to be comfortable. But if it's like, you know, for these stadium shows, I'm with Luke, like, we don't have that long of a set. I'm like, if I'm a little uncomfortable, it's not a long set, so it doesn't matter. But if it's a headlining set, I'm like, all right.
And even, like, outside of shows, I feel like it's so important to be authentic and, like, not be completely dolled up all the time. But people want to see your real face. People want to see you in your blue jeans and tank tops and pajama, you know, whatever. Like, they want to see you play the O2 Arena in Cody Johnson's sweatshirt and pajama pants. Like,
yes.
Because that's relatable.
Well, sure, yeah. And they want to know that you're real people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're dolled up all the time, it's like,
it was easy for us. We don't look like this all the time.
We really don't. Yeah.
So we have to talk about Luke and the stadium shows because, you know, C2C, that's pretty big already. And then what could be bigger? Luke Combs in a stadium. So you guys have already done Edinburgh. And then this weekend, it's Wembley. What was it like? That sounds like such a base question. But what is it like to perform to close to 100,000 people?
Well, we've been on, we've been in Europe for about a month.
Yeah.
So we've hit like a stadium in Sweden, a stadium in Amsterdam. We did an arena in Paris. I think the craziest one was Slane Castle.
Yeah. Yes.
Slane Castle in Dublin. That was so special.
It was incredible.
That was
incredible.
What was so special about that?
Well, just like how special the venue is and how big and important the venue is. And there's only ever been like 26 concerts held there ever. And like, I'm a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
Yes.
And their concert film that they made from Slane Castle in 2003 is like my favorite concert film of all time. And so just to play it and be a part of like the smallest people that have done
it. We pre-gamed Slane by watching the entire Red Hot Chili Peppers concert. Like, in the bus, it was like,
I was like, everyone has to watch it right now.
Did you pull out any Red Hot Chili Pepper moves in your set?
No.
We did not, but we did.
I did. I wanted to do some karate moves, but I didn't have it in me. That was not going to happen.
You should have done a Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
I know.
It would be like, if you know, you know.
That would have been, so we actually played Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen, which he played in 85.
Yeah, he played
Slane in 85. And Ellie had a sweet little talking spiel about how grateful we were to be there. And also, she was like, and we're going to play a song that was played in 1985, and then we played Dancing in the Dark. And
oh, people must have loved it.
It was really fun.
So fun.
So that's why that one was important, which is a great backstory with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I love the fact that, because I think a lot of people think, like, oh, country people only like country music.
Yeah.
But, I mean, music in general, isn't it? At what point did it become not weird to play in front of that many people? Or...
It's always weird, and I think the moment it stops being weird, like you've lost a little bit of something, because like that's crazy. Like walking out there, like we went on at 5 p.m. and you can't see the back of the crowd. It goes up this massive mountain, and like you almost just you have to look at it and like recognize what it is and what you're doing, and then like immediately like kind of put it out of your mind. But like it hits you when you walk on stage and you see that many people.
Absolutely.
Like why am I up here? And like
it's a little weird because it's like there's so many people out there. It's almost like there's like nobody out there because there's so many people.
Yeah. I've heard artists say that before, that like when it's like 200 people, you're looking everybody right in the eye, and when it's 60,000 people, you're just kind of taking it all in as a mass.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of,
there's a little bit of that for sure.
Different, but it's still, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like you must feel that amount of energy coming towards you as well, because we've, it was actually Dolly Parton was talking to us about playing Glastonbury, and she said it was like you could feel the vibration on the stage because there's just so much energy directed.
Absolutely.
At one little person with big hair, you know,
exactly,
and with you guys, like there, all of that energy, like literally and kind of figuratively, you know,
absolutely.
Like everybody's looking at you. That many eyes are looking at you, which means like all of their focus and energy is at you as well. Is that something that you can kind of even? Can you feel that?
I think you can, and also too, like the energy from the crowd, but then also when you're getting that energy from the crowd, we're getting this weird energy between the three of us and like our band on stage, which is almost more powerful,
like than the crowd energy. Which like when we have an energy between like us and our band, and like I can tell Lily's like having a blast, and Ellie's over there having a blast, and we just like kind of are in this headspace of like, I don't care, I'm having fun. You know, we're just, that to me is like the perfect storm of
I mean, Ellie and I literally started crying on stage But we were singing one of our songs called A Little Goes a Long Way, and my voice was under the weather, and I had to get a steroid shot, so Ellie sang that song for me. And I was playing guitar, and she was singing, and she was sounding so beautiful. And I was like, this is really sweet, because she's doing my job, because I'm in a weak moment right now, and I can't sing that well. And she was looking at me singing the bridge, and the bridge is, like, everyone thinks it's the big moments, and it's the milestones that get you where you're going. And she was looking at me singing this, and, like, I'm literally playing guitar, like, and I'm, like, crying. And but the bridge ends with, like, but the yellow brick road wasn't paved in a day. And Ellie's voice cracks. And she was crying, too. And then that was really
sweet. Our last night at Slam.
Yeah, it was our last. It was fine. But
we were, like, having to do some set moving around for some.
I lost my voice because we had a headlining show the day before Slam. And, I mean, shoot, we've been in how many countries in how many weeks?
Yeah, mid-tour. Sickness
vocal fatigue, but like it was like one of the worst my voices I felt, and one of the funnest shows I've ever had.
I'm seeing a pattern here, because like, you know, losing your luggage, having to kind of make it up as you go along, wear your merch, like you
when I'm down, I'm up.
Lost your voice, but it was one of the funnest shows you've ever had. Like there's something about things not being perfect that actually make it perfect.
Adversity really brings out, like, if you let it, adversity really can bring out a very powerful.
I feel like I perform the best when there's an uncertainty on stage, when I'm like about, like, you know, you're getting ready to run out, and it's like, you know, the house lights are coming on. It's like, okay, I have no idea what's about to go on, but like, by God, I'm going to do it.
It keeps you on your toes, I guess, right? Yeah. Because if something, I mean, there is something to be said for muscle memory, and we all rely on that to some degree, and that can get us through some very tricky situations. Mm-hmm. But when you actually have to stay kind of on the back foot or on your toes a little bit and engage with thinking, there's something that adds. It adds another layer, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it, in a way, makes it better, because, it's so easy to do the muscle memory and do this, but when you kind of, like, something, you know, unexpected happens, you're like, oh, wait, I need to lock in a little bit.
Yeah,
and
that
kind of makes it super fun.
And we can lean on each other. Like,
that's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, being family in that way, I'd imagine there's pluses and minuses.
Yeah, for sure.
But have you guys always been because you have other siblings as well, have you guys always been a really tight family?
Always.
Absolutely. We were homeschooled and grew up together. And
we're all just so close in age, too. Like, we're 23, Lily's 21. We're triplets, so our brother is also 23 with me and Powell. Like, 23, 21, 19 is all five of our ages, and so we're just all...
That was a busy household.
Yeah. Our mom's
so
crazy.
Much fun.
And the family comes with you?
Sometimes.
They typically don't, but our parents are in Europe with us right now.
Yes, they're in the room, actually.
In the room with us.
We so wish our brothers could have come. They're back home. Our little brother's running the farm. And then our triplet brother is... interning or working at a law firm.
So that'll be useful.
Yeah, it'll be very useful. They're doing their own thing. They're killing it. We love them so much. Hopefully next year when we come back.
Hopefully we can come back.
Did you guys travel a lot as a family as kids?
No. Never.
No. So the first time that you came to Europe or came over here, was when you played
CTC?
CTC,
yeah.
Wow. And look, and also, there's one thing if you are just a tourist and you've come to the UK and that's exciting, or you do Europe and you do all of that. There's a whole other level, though, when you come over for the first time and people know your name and sing your songs back to you. Was that a little bit of a mind-blown situation?
I didn't even know we had fans over here whenever we did C2C, and seeing people actually, I'm like, oh, we have actual fans here. Mm. And just also a different mindset of being so thankful you're coming here to work.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also a different mindset. We were just... That was so fun. We had such a blast.
And even just coming back, and like, Luke's so gracious to let us play our own headlining shows. And like, we've played two headlining shows already, and we're playing one tomorrow in London. And it's like 900 caps sold out, and it's sold out. We had to upgrade the room because it sold out, which we were like, we've never played a headlining show in London, and like, these people
want to come see us.
Want to come? Yeah, it's
very humbling.
Yeah, you got to be very grateful for that.
Did you guys know Luke before all of this?
We've met him a couple times, but nothing crazy or anything. But he's so kind, and he's been so gracious to us on this tour. It's been awesome.
And was it kind of predetermined, this? Because I know we've talked before about everybody kind of had other plans about what they were going to do with their life and studying some... Isn't there a medicine or science involved somewhere?
Agriculture.
I did agriculture.
Agriculture,
yeah.
That's what it was, yes.
Farm and everything. And then Lily got her pilot's license.
Yes.
Pilot. And then Ellie was...
I was doing, like, international business and
yeah, so these are all, like, you know, real world, super useful, highly educated, not just split decision, like, oh, I guess I'll go into HR. Like, yeah. These are, yeah. Like, real, you know, things that you have to study at and yeah. Test. And, like, so at what point were you like, well, I guess all those years of becoming a pilot or working on my international business stuff or, like, that must be, it must be difficult in some way to go, oh, actually, yeah. I'm going to go this path now? Or was it not difficult?
I think it was hard in the beginning, but I think when we signed our record deal, we moved to Nashville and we started living together again because they lived together in college and I was back home on the farm. Like, when we got together again, I felt like my all my personal biggest, wildest dreams were so much smaller than what we were doing. Like, being a pilot and flying and, you know, doing what I personally wanted to do became so, so small when I got back with my sisters and I started working with them because, I mean, these two girls are my entire life and they've been my life growing up. And for, like, for 2 years when they were gone, like, I forgot that they were my life.
Right.
And then we got back together yeah. And I was like, holy cow.
We like, always like to say, like, it was a dream kind of that we never knew we had. Because I would say that I struggled a lot with not doing
agriculture.
Yeah, because yeah. your whole expectation
whole,
of
like,
how
life,
yeah,
wanna,
because
like,
you
life,
see your life laid
little,
out before
I was like,
you.
Oh, exactly. I do this. And then I did a complete 180, which is like, you know, the saying, tell God, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans, kind of. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely, like, struggled a lot with it, but it's been such a blessing to, like, have this, like, new thing that we're doing that I never thought I could love something as much as I, you know, love being working in ag and, like, being on the farm. And then it's been really, like, encouraging to see this whole other, like, side that I never grew up, like, I don't think any of us did, mm-hmm. grew up with, like, a dream of having.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Agriculture is such an important part of the UK economy, and we have so many people who work on farms and in agriculture kind of around the UK, and it seems like in America, you know, country music and that world just seem to go hand in hand.
Yeah, they're very interconnected.
So well, yeah. Have you ever met Tim McGraw? Because he's a pilot.
I've not met Tim McGraw.
I don't think we've met Tim McGraw.
That's one of the
There's a lot of pilots.
Yeah, but Tim Jamie McGraw Johnson. Actually sometimes flies himself to his own gigs, he said.
I think he has an SR-22. I think he has a Cirrus.
I just think that's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I think the last thing you want to do is be piloting a plane into your gig.
It's crazy.
That, actually, a couple singers, Dirks, I think, does it sometimes.
Dirks has a caravan.
Jamie Johnson is like.
Dirks flies himself.
Yeah. Who shotgun a can of
Drunk
water at
a
concert and then fly himself home.
So that's not something you're going to do anytime soon.
I mean, I would shotgun a can of water and fly myself home, but. We got to get a tour bus before we get a plane.
Right. Have you not had a tour bus yet?
We have had a tour bus.
Because that's always a big moment for people, like when they get their first tour bus.
I mean, like, we were on tour with.
We've had little tastes of the tour bus. Like, we were on the road with Thomas Charette.
Right.
And got, you know, a tour bus for a couple months. And
But we had to have a tour bus for that.
We kind of had to have it. But we have so enjoyed being in the van with our band, driving, like, just, like, you know, on the road.
Doing the deal.
Well, we're also not, like, I think a lot of people are too prideful to feel like they have to go back, you know? But,
right,
I mean, the way the touring economy is right now, like, you have to... We're not divas.
We
want to make some money. And,
yeah.
You know.
Touring's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize how expensive touring is. And I think people... The pride of, oh, I have to go back, or, like, I have to do this in a way that's uncomfortable, like, messes up some people. But we've also just kind of put our head to the ground and been like, no, like, if we have to go back to a van because we need to make some money on the tour, then, like, we'll go.
I love sleeping in a bed that's not moving.
And, you know.
I love the van. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, like, at a stage where you're, like, you know, we're with the band and, we, you know, we have a small crew and we're, like, a family on the road. And it's just, you know, super fun to drive and see the world. And
yeah,
we've really enjoyed it.
See the world out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Is home still Georgia?
We live in Nashville.
Well, home is always Georgia.
We live in Nashville, but... Yeah.
Do you make it back to Georgia a lot?
Mm-hmm. As much as we can.
And it's a family farm?
Yes.
Family farm. Our family's been on it for over 200 years.
And what's the main crop, or is it a livestock farm?
It's beef cattle and timber.
Yeah.
Beef cattle and timber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. What's your favorite cut of steak?
I like a fillet.
Okay. I do too. But well, I'm not picky.
I do like a strip. I do like a New York strip too.
We've loved being over here and eating all the food. I feel like we've eaten so much while we're over here.
We're
big foodies.
Has there been anything that you had to try, or anything that kind of you were like, what is this? Or anything that was a disappointment?
I never tried black pudding.
Oh yeah, have
I
you
like
now?
I like it. I think it's good.
Okay.
It was okay.
Not picky eaters.
I had pickled herring for breakfast in Sweden.
Oh yeah, they love that.
It was yum. I was like, I could eat this every
protein,
day.
Protein, right off the bat, boom.
We had some Dutch babies when we were in Amsterdam, right?
Dutch waffles?
Dutch waffles. Wait, what were they called?
You said babies.
Yeah, the Dutch, they call them Dutch babies.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, it's almost like a crepe, but not a crepe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Have you had a Yorkshire pudding yet? Because people are always excited to try Yorkshire pudding, and then you're like, wait, this
it's
is it?
It's just bread.
It's batter. I mean, look, we're all going to get kicked out of the country if we're not careful.
I thought those were so good.
Oh, good. All right, good. Mm-hmm. Filled with gravy. It's a thing. But, I mean, it's ultimately baked batter.
Yeah. Which
I loved it. I thought it was great. It's so funny because we're like, the three of us have like kind of a mustard obsession.
I love mustard too.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. I feel like nobody, people
I have
like
all the mustards.
Yeah.
A selection of mustards. What kind of mustard do you want? You want some tarragon mustard? I got you covered.
With the horseradish.
Yeah.
Like the,
all of it. English mustard.
Yeah, English mustard's so spicy, so hot.
It's good though.
I didn't know there was an English mustard and there was like is French mustard?
Yeah, French mustard. Yeah, like a Dijon.
And like every restaurant we go to, we always ask for mustard. We're like, we need like mustard around the table. And like people are so confused. We were in Germany ordering schnitzel and we were like, we have some.
Oh,
mustard?
Yeah, you need mustard with that.
Yeah,
I was like, you want to put mustard on
schnitzel? And I was like, please.
I love mustard, yeah.
That's so great. That's so good to know.
All the condiments. I want all the condiments,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, we're
but if I had to only have one condiment, mustard every single time.
Universal condiment.
I love that because we all feel the same way.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I feel like...
Let's end there.
It is so good to see you guys. And also, it's just so exciting to watch what's happening for you, certainly over here. We've been loving so many of your songs from like Number 7 Road and Alabama Stone and right up into right now. So we will continue loving on that. And then presumably now the UK is like, you're like, yeah, we're coming back to the UK as often as possible.
10,000%.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. So, like, we'll see you next year.
Fingers crossed.
Fall next year.
Hopefully next fall.
All right. We will see you next fall.
Yay!
The Casalos, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.